of the truth of the gospel. May we be so completely convinced that Jesus is the only way of salvation that the Holy Spirit that dwells in us will give us the boldness to unashamedly stand before men and declare the sufficiency of the gospel. May we proclaim Jesus' name, and may we be never found fighting against you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here again, it's mentioned that as Peter told them the truth of who Jesus is and the truth that they had killed the Messiah, they were cut to the quick. They were being convicted of their sin. And I've told you before, and this has pretty much fleshed itself out in every instance that I've talked to people about Jesus and talked to people about the gospel. Conviction is going to bring one of two emotions to the surface. It's either going to bring brokenness or anger. When we're, even in us, if we're confronted with our sin, if we're confronted with something we're doing wrong or thinking wrong or involved in that's not glorifying God, but we found ourselves kind of comfortable in it, have you ever been approached by a friend and had them say, "Hey, you need to think about what you're saying because it's not quite lining up with Scripture"? I'm just going to tell you, I've been confronted with some things. And the initial response is always to just kind of step back and get kind of aggravated. Who are you to tell me what's right and what's wrong? I'm a preacher, dadgummit. But then when you think about it, okay, I see their point. If it's brought to you in love, if it's brought to you with a desire to see you flourish and to continue in the right path with God, being confronted with sin is never pleasant. And even in my own life and in when I've talked to other people about salvation and Jesus being the only way, there's one of normally two responses. Either a brokenness, it may not lead to repentance yet, but they understand, they know that they're in need of a Savior. They know that they're not living right. They know that there's something missing in their life and there's a sense of brokenness. Or they get angry and they get mad. And they start fussing, griping, walking away, doing all kinds of things. But that doesn't happen very often. But in Jesus' time, in this particular instance, when the Sadducees were confronted with the truth of the gospel that they had just killed the Messiah, but he was raised again, all they heard was, "You killed the Messiah." They didn't hear the part that he was raised again, and now there's hope for salvation. They just kind of let that part go away from them. They hung in on, "You did wrong." And they got angry. And so they were trying to figure out how they could shut them up. But a man named Gamaliel, it says a Pharisee. Now, have you ever heard the name Gamaliel before? Who is he associated with? Paul. In Acts chapter 22, verse 3, Paul's giving his lineage and his qualifications as a Jew. And one of them is I'm a Pharisee taught under Gamaliel. And here, there is great respect for this man. He's a man who loves God. Gamaliel loves God. He wants to serve God. And he's giving them wise counsel, even though we don't know if he ever accepted Christ as the Messiah. But he feared God. Paul said, "Look, I was just like you. I was zealous for God, but I just didn't know what I was doing." So we can be zealous for God and get way off track. Gamaliel was zealous for God, and he gave them some wise counsel. And I think this is counsel that comes from God. Now you say, well, does God use unbelievers? Absolutely. All throughout Scripture, He uses unbelievers to speak words. He even used a donkey one time to speak to a prophet and to get him back in line. So yeah, God can do anything. And sometimes your friends, your lost friends, may give you wise counsel that you need to stop and you need to consider. Because sometimes God will use the ungodly, unbelievers, to speak truth into your life. Maybe they're even a speed bump in the road so you'll think about what you're doing or what you're saying or how you're acting. God's amazing that way. He can use anyone and anything to speak into our lives. So we need to always be listening for counsel from the Lord. So this Pharisee gives him, he says, look, put these guys out for a short time. Let's talk about this before we get too carried away. And this is something that these next few verses are very wise and something that we as a church need to listen to. Because sometimes when we're trying to do things, maybe we're trying to follow God and we're trying to do what He wants us to do, and it's not comfortable, it's not easy, but yet sometimes we just got to go in faith and let God work it out. If it's of Him, He'll take care of it. He'll keep it going. If it's not, it's going to fall apart, and that's okay. But here he says, look, some time ago there was a couple of guys, and this is not just two of them, this is not the only two, but periodically there were self-proclaimed messiahs that would raise up, especially around the time of the Passover when all of Jerusalem was together in, or all of the Jews were gathered in Jerusalem, and kind of the national pride begins to rise up around these festivals, and guys that have been rabble-rousers, guys that have been kind of on the fringe talking up national pride, we need to overthrow the Romans, we need to come out from under this, God has said we can, and I'm here to lead you. Says, look, there have been over the years many people who have rose up proclaiming to be somebody, proclaiming to be the Messiah, and people have followed them and started fighting against the Romans, and they were killed, and all their followers were scattered. He said, look, this Jesus was killed, but the followers ain't scattering. The followers are bold. There's a difference here, so you need to be careful. He said, look at the past experience. When we killed, cut the head off of the snake, the body died. We've killed the leader, but yet there's something different about this. There's something different about this instance. Immediately before, the followers scattered. They ran for the hills. They dispersed. They tried to get away. But these guys are hanging around, and they're growing in number rather than dwindling. They're increasing in miracles rather than fading away. He said, look, guys, let's take a minute and let's let God work this out. He said, because if we act too presumptuously, if we act too far, too quickly, he said in verse 38, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is from men, it'll be overthrown. And sometimes, even in church, and we're trying to develop a ministry, we're trying to do something to reach out in the community, we don't know if it's going to work or not. We don't know how well it's going to happen. So, hey, let's try it. And if God's in it, He'll bless it. If we try it and it flops, okay, we tried. Let's back up, try something else. We're not always going to know exactly what to do or when to do to reach the people. We've just got to pray, try and be in focus and follow the Spirit and get out there and do something. We've got to develop in our church an atmosphere, an attitude that it's okay to what we call fail. It's okay to try something and it not work. At least we're trying. Amen. It's okay to get out there and maybe go well for a while and then it stops being effective. Well, let's stop it. Let's try something else. It's okay. The only failure we can have is to do nothing. And when we start doing something different, when we try and do something that we've never done before, we pray and we're trying to follow God, we're trying to reach people, we're trying to share the gospel, and we just feel like, hey, this is the way we need to go, this is what we need to try, there are going to be some people that just don't like it. And we need to hear the counsel of Gamaliel, let's wait and see if God's part of this before we rush to judgment. Because he says in the next verse, you may find yourself even fighting against God. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of places I don't mind being, but I don't ever want to be on the other side of God fighting against what He's trying to do. Now, I don't presume to know the mind of God. I don't presume to understand the ways of God completely. He's given us some insights. But he works in mysterious ways. And we've got to be willing to try something. If it doesn't work out, hey, God must not have been in this. Let's try something. Let's pray again. Let's regroup. Let's pray. Let's try something different where he leads us. Maybe he's going to bless that. But when we try to do something different and we immediately start fighting against it, we immediately get our dander up, we immediately start fussing about how much it's going to cost or what it's going to do, and sometimes we're fighting against God. And I've been a part of churches where people are fighting against God, and it makes church miserable. It makes church tough. It makes this place a place where the world doesn't want to be. We're fighting against the purpose. So we've got to develop, just like Gamaliel is giving this counsel to the Sanhedrin, the ones who are absolutely, we know now, is fighting against God, but back then they didn't. When the Sanhedrin was fighting against the Jews and trying to stop this way, this new Christianity that had come up, they absolutely thought that it was a cult. They absolutely thought that these people were being led astray. They were fighting what they thought was the fight of God. But Gamaliel was wise enough to see, look, this isn't working out like it has in the past. We've never had to fight this hard before. The Messiah, self-proclaimed Messiah, the guy would raise up, he'd get his troops together, he'd get killed, and they'd scatter, and it was over. We didn't have to worry about it. Now we're fighting, and we're calling them in. We're not making any headway. The disciples, our believers, are continuing to grow, and man, it seems like God's moving, and we just need to wait and see if this is of God. We may be on the wrong side. I want to tell you, church, we need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to do everything we can to reach out to the lost. And we've got to be willing to evaluate. See how things are going. Regroup if we have to. Keep going what's going well. See what God's blessing, as Henry Blackaby said, find out where God's at work and join Him. You know? And we've got to be careful that we don't put ourselves in opposition to what God's trying to do. Because that will not only tear up the church, it will kill the church. So Gamaliel gives this counsel, but they couldn't help themselves. They called the guys back in. Verse 40. They took his advice, sort of. And after calling the apostles back in, they flogged them again. They just couldn't help themselves. We got to do something. So they beat these guys again, told them not to speak anymore in Jesus' name, and sent them right back out. They were doing everything they could to squash it without killing them. But look at 40 and 42. Oh, that this could be me. That I would have this kind of faith. That I would see the difficulties of ministry, the difficulties of life, the hardships of following Jesus, if I could see them with this amount of joy. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. Just like we were talking about this morning. When we can give grace and experience grace in the middle of hardship, when we can rejoice in the fact that the world doesn't like us, not that we want them to be mad, not that we want to drive them away, but they see us so different. They see Jesus in us so much that it makes them uncomfortable. Man, to rejoice in that. But most of the time in my own life, I try and blend in too much. I don't want them to see me as some kind of religious freak. I don't want them to see me as some Christian nut job. You've heard it asked before, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? See, Peter and John rejoiced that there was enough evidence that made them worthy to be beaten. There was enough evidence of their faith. There was enough evidence of their walk with Christ. There was enough evidence in their witness that they received the exact same thing Jesus did. They rejoiced in that. It's not that they were glad they got beaten. Okay, don't get me wrong. They weren't glad that they were beat up. They weren't glad that they were going through these hard times. They weren't glad that the Sanhedrin hated them. They weren't glad that the Jews were against them. What they were glad in was that they walked, they talked, they loved, they lived enough like Jesus where the world was uncomfortable with them. They were joyous in the fact that, man, my life is representing Jesus to where I'm getting treated like Jesus. My life is emulating Jesus in such a way that the people that hated Jesus are hating me. They wore it like a badge of honor. Paul said later on, after he had made his conversion, he talked about his wounds, his stripes, his scars. He treated them as a badge of honor. I'm enough like Jesus that they want to treat me like Jesus. And I'm always so scared of people not liking me. I want people to like me. I want people to listen to what I got to say. I want people to enjoy my company. But as a Christian, Jesus says that the world is supposed to hate us. If we're living like we're supposed to, even though we're living in grace, even though we're living in love, even though we're standing for the truth, but we're speaking the truth in love, and we're giving grace to those who don't love Him, we're trying to reach them with the gospel, that if we're living that way, there's going to be a faction, there's going to be a group, there's going to be people that are absolutely going to hate us. Without cause, but because our life, our words, the gospel confronts them in their sin. And they're going to respond in hatred. So if you go through your whole life and everybody likes you, if you go through your whole life and everybody wants to be around you because they feel comfortable, Jesus said, beware. Because the prophets, they beat, they killed, and they run out of town. And if the world is comfortable around you all the time, you ain't got it. You're not living like you are supposed to be living. You're not sharing the gospel like you're supposed to be sharing. You're not witnessing like we're supposed to be witnessing. As a Christian, there should be some people that absolutely hate us. But it's because we're living like Jesus. Not because we've been mean to them, not because we've abused them, not because we're using them or trying to manipulate them. They just can't stand the gospel or the Jesus that we love. So therefore, they can't stand us. Verse 42. Look what happened. When they rejoiced, when they were excited that they were worthy to be suffer the shame of Jesus, it says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They kept right on doing what Jesus told them to do. And there are times, even in church, when people raise up and we're trying to do things and there's a small faction or a small group of people that get mad because we're trying to reach lost people or we're doing things different than they've ever been done, or we're not just sitting here and being comfortable and they get angry, sometimes we just got to say, okay, we love you, but we're going to keep right on doing what Jesus told us to do. And sometimes you've just got to move on and be willing to let some sit down and keep following Jesus. The disciples probably realized they had never reached the council. They didn't know they were going to continue every chance they had to witness to the Sanhedrin, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Every time they were brought before them, they told them the gospel. But they didn't let the threats of the religious folks stop them from doing what Jesus had saved them to do. And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to be more concerned about what Jesus has to say about what we're doing than anybody else. Treat them with love. Treat them with respect. But never stop to make people happy. Let's live for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful for your grace and your mercy. And God, we as your church and the leaders that you've placed here, Lord, I pray that you would constantly keep us on our knees pursuing you from a heart of obedience, a heart filled with love, a heart that wants to see you lifted up and people come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that every decision that we as a church makes is to reach the lost, to try and accomplish this great work that you've given us to accomplish. And I pray that we'll be led by your Holy Spirit, and I pray that everything that we do will be blessed. But God, I know that we're not perfect. And Lord, sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we're going to step out and try and do things, and sometimes it's just a test. But may we be found faithful in the test. But give us the resolve to not stop hunting ways to pursue people with the gospel. And may we as a church, and may the people of this church never be found fighting against you. May we be unified around the gospel. May we be unified around the purpose. And may we be joyous in our pursuit of the lost. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would come to know you, that sometime this week as you work in their heart and you water these seeds that have been planted as they come and listen, God, I pray that you'd give them the faith to come to know you as Lord and Savior, and they'd let that be known the next time we gather together, or they'd call me or call a deacon. God, I pray that for those of us who are saved, who truly love you, God, I pray that we would fall more in love with you. And God, we would be more convinced of the gospel so that we will share it with joy. We'll share it with conviction. We'll share it in boldness, in love, and in grace. So that those that don't know you can come to know you. Will have the opportunity to accept or reject the good news. God, let us never stop, no matter what the opposition. Let us move forward with the gospel. And may you be given all the glory and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. If you would stand, we're going to have a time of commitment. Maybe tonight you just need to pray, God, help me be more committed to share the gospel. Help me find joy in being rejected because I'm being faithful. Because that's what he did. You do business with the Lord.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart. Oh, speak to my heart, speak to my heart.